Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning. I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is Five Things You Need to Know, Tuesday, the 7th of July, 2020. Here are some of the top headlines. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has tested positive for coronavirus. She said she has not experienced any symptoms. Three people are dead, including a 13-year-old girl, after a neighborhood dispute about a dog in Florida. And Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes will be a Chief for the future. He agreed to a 10-year contract extension worth up to more than $500 million. A reminder, we're always on Twitter at USA Today Podcast. There you can stay up with all things Five Things and other pods from across the USA Today Podcast Network. Plus, if you let us know your thoughts, you might be featured right here on Five Things. That's at USA Today Podcast on Twitter. Now, onto the show. Progress on a vaccine for COVID-19 is ramping up. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, spoke with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, on Monday. Fauci gave a promising update on the timeline for potential vaccines, saying that some are ready to move to phase 3, with the possibility of learning by the end of this year whether one or some of them are safe and effective.
I think the first thing people need to understand that although timetables are given, whenever you're dealing with a vaccine development, there's never a guarantee that your candidate will be both safe and effective. So there's always the big question mark. However, assuming that there will be one and maybe more safe and effective vaccines, here's where we are with the timeline. There are multiple candidates using different platforms, several of which the United States government and the NIH itself, we are involved in helping to facilitate the development, either directly or indirectly with our sites. If things go the way it looks like they're going, one of these candidates will enter phase 3 trial for efficacy at the end of July. Other candidates will sequentially come in, another one at the end of August, one in September, and one in October. They have different platforms, yet there's some commonality among them. The protocols are harmonized. We're using consistent laboratory data that we're going to be measuring, and the endpoints are the same. So we hope as we go along that by the end of this year or the beginning of 2021, we will at least have an answer whether the vaccine or vaccines, plural, are safe and effective. If so, and this question always gets asked, we are now working with the companies, BARDA, by their investment, to start making doses before we even know whether it works or not. So that when we get to the winter and the early part of 2021, we will start to have a large number of doses that people will be able to use if it turns out to be safe and effective. The big if.
To avoid a long lag time between that discovery and making a vaccine available, production will begin before there's a clear answer to those questions. Dr. Collins clarified that sped up vaccine efforts only risk money, not public health.
People hear this term Operation Warp Speed, which is part of what is now guiding the government's effort in this space, and they're concerned that sounds like you're cutting corners with safety and efficacy. Absolutely not the case. The corners that are being cut are things like doing this manufacturing at risk so you don't have a long lag time after the vaccine proves to be effective, where you have to wait for the doses to appear. That can't be said often enough. I want to assure everybody, because you and I are in all these conversations, oftentimes many times a day and late into the night, that there will be no compromising on the principles of safety and efficacy. Whatever we come up with in a few months is going to be just as rigorously tested as any vaccine ever has been.
Despite potentially promising news on the vaccine front, Fauci had a grim take on the state of the virus itself in the U.S.
The current state is really not good in the sense that, as you know, we had been in a situation where we were averaging about 20,000 new cases a day, and then a series of circumstances associated with various states and cities trying to open up in the sense of getting back to some form of normality has led to a situation where we now had record-breaking cases. 2 days ago, it was at 57,500. So within a period of a week and a half, we've almost doubled the number of cases.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is surging ahead of the European Union in cases. Three states, California, Florida, and Texas, are now each adding more coronavirus cases daily than the entire EU. And Arizona has been closing in on the daily case count of the union that has about 60 times as many people. There have now been more than 537,000 deaths from COVID-19 around the world, including more than 130,000 in the U.S. It's another election Tuesday, including a presidential primary in Delaware. And it'll be the first time that former Vice President Joe Biden is on the ballot in his home state as a viable Democratic nominee for president. In the two previous primary elections he ran in, Biden dropped out before Delaware voters could pick him as the nominee. New Jersey will also go to the polls, where Democrat-turned-Republican Congressman Jeff Van Drew will face a fight on both sides to keep his seat. And Senator Cory Booker, once a White House hopeful, faces a primary challenge from Lawrence Ham. He's a progressive and founder and chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, which works for social, racial, and economic justice. Americans can send a message with their wallets on Tuesday for Blackout Day. The economic protest encourages shoppers to buy only from Black-owned businesses. The move comes amid ongoing protests against police brutality and systemic racism, as well as the nation's decades-long racial wealth gap. Blackout Day began in 2015 to fight negative stereotypes, and it's since led to a number of spin-off events aimed at uplifting the Black community. Johnny Depp is suing the British tabloid The Sun for libel, and the case is scheduled to start at London's High Court on Tuesday. Depp is going after the paper's publisher, News Group Newspapers, and executive editor Dan Wooten for an article that claims he was violent and abusive toward his ex-wife Amber Heard. Last week, a British judge rejected an attempt by The Sun to put a stop to the suit, allowing it to proceed. Depp and Heard met on the set of the 2011 film The Rum Diary before marrying in February of 2015. They divorced 2 years later. Happy birthday, Ringo Starr. Despite the coronavirus pandemic, the Beatles rocker will celebrate as always. But instead of the Los Angeles street party that he throws every year, Starr will be taking his birthday celebration online. The event will be streamed on YouTube with plenty of star power, ranging from Michael McDonald to Elvis Costello and Willie Nelson. Like many, Starr has been hunkering down at home during the pandemic. He said the year has been tough and that he's had a few down days. Still, Ringo's bringing positive vibes, like every year asking fans to stop what they're doing at noon to flash the peace sign. Thanks for listening to Five Things. A reminder, you can subscribe for free and rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen wherever you find your audio. Thanks to Claire Thornton for her work on the show. Five Things is part of the USA Today podcast network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.